1 to 9. Then the Lord said to Joshua, tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge as I instructed you through Moses, so that anyone who kills a person accidentally and unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the Avenger of Blood. When they flee to one of these cities, they are to stand in the entrance of the city gate and state their case before the elders of that city. Then the elders are to admit the fugitive into their city and provide a place to live among them. If the Avenger of Blood comes in pursuit, the elders must not surrender the fugitive, because the fugitive killed their neighbor unintentionally and without malice aforethought. They are to stay in that city until they have stood trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then they may go back to their own home in the town from which they fled. So they set apart Kadesh in Galilee, in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba in the hill country of Judah, east of the Jordan. They designated Bezer in the wilderness, on the plateau in the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead in the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan in the tribe of Manasseh. Any of the Israelites or any foreigner residing among them who killed someone accidentally could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the Avenger of Blood prior to standing trial before the assembly.
Thank you, Viro, for the Bible reading. Now, I would like to invite Elma to minister God's word for us. Elma, you may take the place now.
Good morning, everyone. Today, I want to talk about this chapter, Joshua 20. You know, stories in the Old Testament, they are very rich. And if you remember the movie Shrek, the big ogre with the donkey, Shrek once said to the donkey that ogres, they are like onions. Onions, they have layers, and when you peel down, every time you will get a new layer. And stories in the Old Testament, they are sometimes also like that. And today I want to peel the story of the cities of refuge and every time discover something new. It's really nice story. So let's start with the first lesson. It's just reading the text and looking at it from an historical point of view. We read about these cities that are called cities of refuge. This story took place around 1400 before Christ. At the moment Israel entered the Promised Land, immediately these cities were assigned to be cities of refuge. Well, what does that mean, refuge? Let's have a look at the definition of refuge. Refuge means it's a protection or a shelter, like from danger or hardship. So the cities, they give protection. A refuge, a city of refuge, is a place to provide this protection or shelter. It's also a source of help, relief, or comfort in times of trouble. And that's what we read in verse 1. Then the Lord said to Joshua, tell the Israelites to designate the cities of refuge, as I instructed you through Moses. He provided places to be protected, to be sheltered from hardship or danger. So, what were these cities of refuge now exactly for? They are refuge means what we just had a look at, protection. But what for? Protection against what? Well, these cities, they provided protection in the case of accidental killing. We read that in verse 3. So that anyone who kills a person accidentally and unintentionally may flee there and find protection from the avenger of blood. So you will find protection there in case you killed someone accidentally. Protection against who? Protection against the avenger of blood. Well, that is a strange term. Huh? Maybe we've not heard about it. But at the age of the Israelites at that time, it was kind of a habit that when you killed someone, the family of the person who was killed were going to chase you and try to kill you as a revenge. At that time, it was common practice, but God did not approve of it. So he assigned these cities to provide an escape against this habit. In some cultures, even now, we still see it. Huh? In Sicily, Italy, in Corsica, in Albania, you will still find this culture of when you killed someone by accident, the family will chase you to be killed. So that was God's way of finding an escape in this avenger of blood culture. So when we read in verse 4, when he flees to one of those cities, he is to stand in the entrance of the city gates and state his case before the elders of that city. Then they are to admit him into their city and give him a place to live with them. What we read here is something that is also in our justice system still the principle, that you are innocent until you are proven guilty. So when someone flees to the city, state his case, then they take him into the city until the trial takes place. So he is safe until the trial. So he is not guilty until the trial is taken place. And when indeed is proven that it was accidental, he can stay in that city and he is safe from the avenger of blood. In verse 5, we read, in the avenger of blood, if the avenger of blood pursues him, they must not surrender the one accused, because he killed his neighbor unintentionally and without malice aforethought. Then in verse 6, he is to stay in that city until he has to trial before the assembly and until the death of the high priest who is serving at that time. Then he may go back to his own home in the town from which he fled. So he is safe until the death of the high priest. Also, after the high priest dies, he is free. He can freely go back and he is free to return to his hometown. And in verse 9, we read, any of the Israelites, of any alien living among them who killed someone accidentally, could flee to these designated cities and not be killed by the avenger of blood prior to standing trial before the assembly. It was not only for Jews. This rule of this escape of the city of refuge was also for the aliens living among them. So the principles are protection in case of accidental killing. It protects against the one who wants to revenge, the avenger of blood. And if you flee to that city, you are safe there until the high priest died. It's a long time and everything will be forgotten. So after the high priest dies, it's like a time frame. You are safe in that city. That city will protect you from that moment. And after he dies, you are free to leave. And it's for Jews and for aliens. In verse 7, we read about which cities are assigned. And if you read that, so they set apart Kadesh in Galilee in the hill country of Naphtali, Shechem in the hill country of Ephraim, and Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the hill country of Judah. On the east side of the Jordan of Jericho, they designated Bezer in the desert on the plateau in the tribe of Reuben, Ramoth in Gilead in the tribe of Gad, and Golan in Bashan in the tribe of Manasseh. When you see those cities on a map, you see that they are very evenly distributed over Israel. So that means always there is a city near you. You can always flee. You don't need to travel really long. They are clearly distributed over Israel, and they are all on top of hills. So they are easily visible. So you can find that city easily when you need it. So this principle of cities of refuge was not only present in Israel. Through the ages, you see this principle back. In the past centuries, even in the Netherlands, there were cities, they were called Vrijsteden. Vianen, Culemborg, they were in the Middle Ages, kind of similar cities where you could go to and all the law applied there, not the law of the place around those cities. So you were kind of safe. Of course, this was often an attraction point for criminals to go to because they could not be caught. But the principal cities of refuge were there. In Hawaii, until the 19th century, there was also a city. I'm not going to try to pronounce that name. But the Hawaiians who broke one of the ancient laws, they could also avoid a certain death when they flee to this place. So nowadays, those cities, they still do exist. Vianen, Culemborg, they still exist, but they are no longer cities of refuge. But the principle behind it still exists. We see that in Holland as well, but also in other places. It's called asylum. In modern age, asylum gives protection of those fleeing political, religious, or social persecution. So when people from a war country, they flee to a safe country, that country will give them, hopefully, asylum. So they are safe. They don't need to return to a certain death. A specific item of asylum is called church asylum, where the church is protecting those who are not safe. If you remember, in Holland, there was a case last year where a refugee family had to be returned to their home country because of the Kinderpardon. So the children, they didn't live long enough in Netherlands, so the whole family should return. And then there was the church that they attended. They took them into their church and they held a church service day and night, because the rule in Holland is the police is not allowed to disrupt a church service. So they had from October until February this year, they had a ongoing church service day and night. So this family could not be taken away to be put on the airplane to return to their home country. And after February, finally an agreement was made that this family could stay. So at those 3 months, this church provided church asylum to this family. It was a really nice way. So we still have these cities of refuge in nowadays, that the church can be a city of refuge for people. So this is just by reading the text and looking at it from an historical point of view, nice to see that God already put principles in place that we are still applying today. Proven not guilty until proven you're guilty. And church asylum to provide protection for those who need it. So if we reread that text, but we are going to look at it from another point of view, this principle of cities of refuge, they tell something about Jesus. It's a prophetic lesson. This churches of refuge, they tell something about Jesus. There is only one reference to the city of refuge in the New Testament, and that's in Hebrews 6, verse 18 to 20. Let's read that together. So God has given both his promise and his oath. These two things are unchangeable because it is impossible for God to lie. Therefore, we who have fled to him for refuge can have great confidence as we hold to the hope that lies before us. In verse 19. This hope is a strong and trustworthy anchor of our souls. It leads us through the curtain into God's inner sanctuary. Jesus has already gone there in for us. He has become our eternal high priest in the order of Melchizedek. So we read here about Jesus, who we can flee to for refuge. And all these principles that we have just discovered from the cities of refuge, they apply to Jesus as well. Let's have a look. Protection in case of accidental killing. In 1 John 1, verse 7, we read, "But if we are living in the light, as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin." We are protected by the blood of Jesus. We are protected from evil things, from sin. So this is the principle of the cities of refuge that apply to Jesus as well. He gives protection in case of accidental killing. He also gives protection against the avenger of blood. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, we read about this avenger of blood. "Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour." Yeah, this avenger of blood is still there. And in John 3, verse 16, we read, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his own one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him, everyone who runs to Jesus for refuge, he will not perish, but have eternal life." Safe from the avenger of blood, safe from the enemy, the devil. So let's look at the third principle. Safe in the city until the death of the high priest. In Hebrews 7, we read that Jesus is actually a high priest. There were many priests under the old system, for death prevented them from remaining in office. But because Jesus lives forever, his priesthood lasts forever. So this principle that you are safe in the city until the death of the high priest means that with Jesus, you are always safe because his priesthood lasts forever. He does not die. There is no moment where you are safe in the city. You are no longer safe in the city because the death of the high priest does not happen. He is always there. That's really wonderful to know that with Jesus we are safe because he doesn't die, right? Another principle is that you are free after the death of the high priest. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, we read, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." I just said that Jesus didn't die. He will never die. But he did die, actually. He did die for our sins. And because of his death, we are free. We are free after the death of the high priest. In the same time, our high priest, Jesus, is still alive. So he's both dead and alive. So we are both safe and we are free. And that is really a wonderful to know that the protection Jesus gives is complete. We are safe and free. And it is for Jews and aliens. And we read in Galatians 3, verse 28, that there is no longer a Jew or a Gentile, slave or free, male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So we see that these principles of the cities of refuge that we read in Joshua 20, they apply to Jesus. They give an image of who Jesus is, his complete safety, his complete rescue for us. Safe in the city until the death, and he is not dead, he is still alive. His priesthood lasts forever. But we are also free because of the death that he suffered and rose again. So is Jesus our refuge? Did we run to Jesus for our refuge? Or are we trying to run away from the devil every day, being afraid? Or did we run to Jesus for refuge? And also, if we did that, are we still within the walls of the city? Are we still protected by the city? We are free. We are free to leave, because after the death of the high priest, we are free to leave the city. But do we stay there? It's a choice that we can make as Christians. Do we consider our high priest dead, so we can freely go and do whatever we want? Or do we consider our high priest alive? So we remain in the city, because there is our safety. There the avenger of blood cannot catch us, because he is still out there. So this if you apply that to us, it means, do we look for temptations ourselves, or are we trying to stay away from them? Do we try to stay in the city where we are safe, where there's no temptation, or are we looking in this world outside the city to live our lives and look for temptations, live on the boundaries, basically? Or are we safely staying in the city? We can consider our high priest alive or our high priest dead. Jesus is still alive, and it's good to stay in his protection, to stay safe. So we have seen the cities of refuge as some principles about justice, some principles about asylum. And we also have looked at the city of refuge as an image of Jesus. We can also look at this story from a third lesson, a third perspective, to look about what does it tell us? How can we live as Christians? A spiritual lesson. In Romans 15, verse 4, we read that everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance and the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. There's one thing in the text that we did not have a look at yet. We have seen a lot of names of these cities, and if you look at them, in the middle there is the River Jordan. On the left side, there are three cities, and on the right side, there are three cities. The left side is kind of the promised land. It's protected by the Jordan, it's protected by the sea. It is like the promised land. And on the right side is called the desert, the battlefield. It has boundaries towards enemies' countries that try to attack continuously. So the left side is the promised land, it's safe. The right side is the battlefield. And the Old Testament, the names in the Old Testament often have meanings, and they mean something. And in this case, the names of these cities, they tell something about our lives, the insights on how we live. So let's first have a look at the three cities on the left side, the three cities in the promised land. They give us promises, but they also give us insights on how to live with God. Kadesh is the first city. Kadesh means holiness, and the name Kadesh means holiness. In 1 Peter 2 verse 9 we read, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his wonderful light. We are a holy people. We are made holy through Jesus. And because of this, we can be close to God, because God is holy. Through the curtain, and we have sing even a song about this high priest, through the curtain into the holy place, the presence of God. The promise is that we can be close to God, because we are holy, God is holy, we can be close to him. The characteristic, or the how we should live, is that the Lord wants us to have a holy life. Not only he is holy, we should also be holy. We are a holy people by Jesus, but we should also live a holy life. For it is written in 1 Peter 1 verse 16, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Holiness is the first item in the promised land. The second item is Shechem. Shechem means dedication. In Matthew 6:33, we read, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The Father is dedicated to us. He gave his Son to die for us. This shows his dedication, that he wants to make things right. And he promises that if we dedicate ourselves, he will take care of our needs. And the Lord wants us to be dedicated to him as well. Not only that he is dedicated to us, but he wants us to be dedicated to him. How? We will read that in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, where Paul is urging us to be dedicated to him by running the race and to win the prize. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24, we read, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Are we dedicated to God? Not only we know that God is dedicated to us, he gave his son to die for us. He is definitely dedicated to us. But are we dedicated to him? Do we live in dedication to him? Do we do everything, seek his first his kingdom, not other things? And the third city in the promised land is called Hebron. And Hebron means fellowship. The Lord desires to have fellowship with us, to live in us. In John 14, verse 23, we read, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." God wants to have fellowship with us. Do we also seek him, love him, and obey him? Do we have fellowship with him as well? Fellowship comes from two directions, not only God to us, but also us to God. So three cities in the promised land, they are all about our relationship with God. And then we have three cities in the desert field, the war zone, the three cities east of the Jordan. These three cities, they tell us something about the struggles that we have living as a Christian and how to protect ourselves from the enemies around us. The first city is called Bezer. Bezer means fortress or defense. And God gives us some text in Ephesians 6, verse 11, to put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. The armor of God is security of salvation, that we know in our hearts and on our minds that we are saved. We know God's word. We seek God in prayer. We realize that our battle is against a defeated, but still alive and active enemy. The devil is defeated, but he is still roaring. Do we protect ourselves from that? Are we building a fortress, a defense, by putting on God's armor? The second city in on the east of the Jordan is called Ramoth. It means heights. And about height means you are visible. And when we look at the things that God is doing for us, God is also on a height. We can see him and we're reminded of him in our daily struggle, that he is there for us. But are we also a light? Are we also visible to the world? In Matthew 5, verse 14 and 16, we read, "You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop, like Ramoth, that cannot be hidden." In the same way, in verse 16, "Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." So these heights, they tell us about the great things of God, but also to show the world through our lives that we serve him. Those are the heights. It makes us visible. We are not hidden. And the last city on the east of the Jordan is called Golan. Golan means captivity or exile. "Dear friends," we read in 1 Peter 2, verse 11, "I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul." Being exiled means that you are in a place where you do not want to be, but you are forced. Like Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they were exiled out of the Garden of Eden to a place that they did not want to be. They wanted to be in the Garden of Eden, but they were exiled because of their sin. The Bible tells us, just what we read, is that when we become Christians, we are no longer part of this world. We are exiles. We do not want to live here anymore. We want to be with God, but we are still here. We do not belong in this world anymore. Our home is in heaven, and God, Golan, tells us to behave like exiled people, longing for home in heaven with God. You know, many of us know, not me, I'm local, but many of you know what it is to live in a country that is foreign to you, that is where you are a stranger. And the habits of a foreign country can be a shock to you, culture shocks, and you might long for your own country, your hometown. And that feeling of homesickness that I do not have because I live in this country all my life. But if you have the feeling of homesickness to your home country, that is the feeling that God puts in our hearts towards living with Him. God wants to put in our hearts the homesickness to live with Him in heaven. And we have had a series of revelations where everything is looking forward to the coming of Jesus. Are we, again, I reminded you a while ago when I did my previous sermon already, do we look forward to His return so we can be home with Him? God wants to put us to put our desires to being with Him forever. There will be no pain, no suffering, no culture shocks, no sinful temptations. There we will be eternally home. And you know, as a church, now we are always online. We do not come together in church. In this way, we are also kind of exiles. And we are exiled from our church because of the coronavirus. And this longing to be together, to serve God together, to worship God together physically, is also a kind of longing to have fellowship with each other and with God. It's another way of feeling being exiled. But you know, God wants us to be with Him wherever we are in church together or we are online together. God is there and He wants to have fellowship with us. He wants us to have a holy life. And He wants us to be with Him. So what are we? Have a look at the three cities. Am I living a holy life? Do I have a relationship with God where He is holy and I am holy? It's a promise that we are holy, but our lives should still reflect that. Are we dedicated to God? Do we spend time with Him? Do we run the race? Dedication towards God? Or are we continuously distracted by other things that are not holy, that are not godly? And do we have fellowship with the Father? Not only with each other as Christians, but also with the Father. That's what God wants. In the promised land, we can live a holy life dedicated to Him and in fellowship with Him. And on the other side, are we protected when we live in this world? Are we protected by God's armor? And are we visible to others? And do we long for home, long to be with God, away from evil? In this way, these six cities, they tell us something about living with God and living with God in this world. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your stories in the Old Testament, Lord. Thank you for the richness of your word, where we can learn so much from you and how we should live from just stories that happened 3,000, 4,000 years ago. Lord, help us to live a life satisfying to you. Help us to be in fellowship with you, Lord. Give us the desire to live with you. Give us the desire that we feel we are not living in this world. We are not part of this world, but we are part of you. We want to live with you. Lord, thank you for who you are, your greatness. Thank you, Lord, that you have given your Son Jesus to be a city of refuge for us. Thank you, Lord, that we know that when we flee to Jesus for refuge, that we are safe from the avenger of blood, safe from all the danger in this world. Lord, thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for who you are. Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice, that you have given your life, and that we also know that you are living forever as a high priest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.